Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon. For today's conference call, the CSG Budget and Operating Plan Working Group call of the 6th of February 2012, we have Marilyn Cade, Tony Holmes, Steve Metellus, and Chris Chaplow on the line. And Chris, over to you.
Great. Thank you very much, Benning. Good afternoon, good morning, etc., everybody. Thanks for joining this call. I think the main purpose of this call is the follow-up from the FY13 framework that was published recently, and also those webinars, which I think most of us attended, where Xavier went through and outlined the FY13 framework. Just before we did that, I just thought it would be worth just taking a couple of moments just to remind ourselves where we were in the group and sort of where we were sort of headed with it. And the purpose that we'd, I'll just read out, the purpose that we'd agreed on was that the CSG Working Group on the Budget and Operating Plan to analyse the implications of the operating plan and budget on the CSG constituencies, provide feedback to members, and provide professional comment within all the ICAM public comment processes. Additionally, the group will coordinate the SOAC leadership constituency support requests. Okay, so in this FY13, we have the strategic plan behind us, as it were, and all three constituencies put in comments for that. We were also able to coordinate our SOAC requests, so those have gone in. I haven't heard any more about that. Has anybody got any news on that or any process? Can I just ask? No. Well, we'll wait and hear, hopefully soon, from Xavier. I understand there's going to be a process of some sort announced and looking at those. But the good news is we were all pretty much in line on those requests, a lot more in line this year than we were last. From discussing things with each other. So really the next task in front of us is this framework budget. The comments will close on the 23rd of February, which isn't actually that long away now. And then we're in this sort of experimental situation where the comments on the website close on the 23rd of February, and then there's another opportunity to comment on the comments, which I think runs until the 26th of March. But for all intents and purposes, the old style comments have got to be in by the 23rd of February, which is obviously before the San Jose meeting. Now, I sent out an email last night, just trying to identify the main headline areas in the framework budget, and that's really where the lists were. So I'm wondering what the best way to proceed with this is. I don't know whether the different members on the call can make suggestions on areas that they think they would like to follow up with. Could I just open that sort of just as a quick methodology on ideas on how we should proceed by sharing the work?
Tony, before you do that, Steve, can I ask you to tell, because you and Tony, I wasn't able to stay for the entirety of it, but we had a brief discussion with the CCNSO. Could you and Tony just very quickly tell us what the methodology is they use?
This, you mean the meeting we had with the CCNSO at where were we? Dakar.
Yeah.
Well, the CCNSO group methodology, if I remember rightly, was more along the lines of to produce a report, which then the individual CCNSO members could pick on and submit their own comments. So the group itself didn't submit a report.
Right.
But that's right. It's a little bit different, though, Marilyn, because it was quite obvious what they had was a much larger pool of resource So they gave each element of that off to a few people and really basically shared it around in a way that we're probably more limited to do.
Right, but I just want to, I think it's helpful to just understand it. So as I understood it, and this help, it's helpful to hear, what they did is they divided up the work, and then they had a almost a template of responses, and then CCs were offered that as a base to draw from in any individual comment. But at the same time, we must remember that at some point the chair of the CCNSO has gone to the microphone several times and given the report, the statement for, on behalf of the CCNSO. Right?
Yes, and the chair of the CCNSO does a report, I think, on the to the board, don't they, on the Friday morning as well?
Yes.
Which I don't think quite at the last meeting, but certainly at the meeting before, Leslie did have several minutes talking on the subject of what their finance group had concluded, yes.
So I just wanted to review that because I think this is probably an evolving finance group, and I'm not suggesting we mirror what they did. I hear you, Tony, about they have more resources to assign. Are we thinking that we would present CSG unified comments on the framework and then meet again to respond to comments that are presented by others? Is that what we would do?
That was the way my thoughts have been heading, for sure. Yeah, I think there's strength in doing it that way, if we can get to that stage.
Yeah, this is Steve. I would agree if we can do it, and but I don't think that would be to would foreclose comments as well from individual constituencies within the CSG. The reason I say that is that really we have about a week to prepare the comments in order to then give time for our constituencies to review them. I mean, maybe a little bit more than a week, but not much. So,
well, one quick other question.
I guess I can't continue. Thank you. Go ahead, Marilyn.
It's the 7th, right? So, Chris, we can do comments in 7 days for the BC, but can the other constituencies meet a deadline of that time frame?
Yeah, probably could, Marilyn.
As I was saying, I think we would need to have something by certainly early next week. In order for our constituency.
I'm sorry, Steve, you're cutting out.
Okay. I think we need something by early next week.
And oh, got it. Okay.
It shouldn't be, let's be realistic about what we can achieve. So,
yes, I think either way, we've got to, and hopefully on this call, look at the different subject, Chris speaking, look at the different subject areas. Maybe each one of us pick certain subjects that they feel are the most important to their community or their constituency, or ones that they worked extensively on last year and are reasonably au fait with. Go away, work up those comments, put it all back together into one document, and then look at it. If we're happy to put that back to our constituencies within that 7 days, then we can run with that solution. If we're not, if one of us is not happy with the document that's come back together, then I think the only way will be to cherry pick it and submit individually instead of submitting a combined document. Does that sound logical as a what we could do?
Yeah, I have a couple of overall points that I think I'd like to suggest that we include.
Okay,
then
go
I
ahead,
agree
Steve.
With you that we should then try, you know, see if there are particular issues on which particular constituencies would volunteer to prepare something.
Yes, I mean we actually have got a lot more detail than we had last year. At the framework stage, As you remember, last year we had you know, a list of about a dozen core activities, and then a list of about a dozen projects with no individual financial numbers put against them at all.
But do you want to?
Well, I'd agree with that in part, Chris. But again, when I look at the core operations on page 11 of their handout, there are 14 things listed there, but there's no. I didn't see a breakdown of how much they plan to spend on each of those, and
right.
I mean, there are a few that are described in slightly more detail elsewhere, such as pages 28, 29. But for the most of the part, we can't really tell how much was spent before, whether they plan to spend more or less, and what their priorities are, and so forth. So. I agree with you on the projects. There's a lot more transparency, and I think that's very good and should be applauded, although there's still a lot of questions about some of them. But on the core operations, which is the bulk of the budget, I think it's – well, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think you're correct, Steve, yes.
It's like 70% of the budget, or no, it's more like 80%.
It's at least 80%. Steve, I did the math on that. I'm very bad on math, but I thought it was about 78%, so 80 maybe. Yeah.
And there's not much detail on that. I mean, there's a few things, but I think we need a lot more detail in some of those areas. That was one of my general comments. They could at least tell us how much they're spending on those things in the current fiscal year and how much they plan to spend next year.
And do you have another general comment? Because I have a general comment I'd like to add.
My other general comment was about the strategic projects that some of them have some description and some of them don't, and I and there's some inconsistencies with how they do it. So when we get to the projects, we can talk about that.
Okay. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, I think my comment might be very similar to Steve's on both of those fronts, but one comment I would make is it's very difficult for me to figure out when ICANN staff is driving an activity, and I'm going to use outreach and, you know, they don't call it that, participation and something else. I'll have to think of the term in a minute. And so Kurt has a whole initiative that has a huge budget associated with it, and it's basically reaching the great unwashed and making them aware of ICANN versus the kind of initiatives that we're proposing about participation and active involvement. And you can't get your hands around where the money is or what the activities are from this budget. You also cannot discern where the CEO's discretionary budget is. And last year and the year before, the CEO spent a couple of million, maybe $3.5 million on discretionary activities and had the ability to do off-budget hires. That's not good governance. But you can't tell that from this budget. So all I'm saying is whatever the discretionary funds are for the CEO, they need to be identified. I'm at this point, I'm not arguing about what he does with them. I'm just saying you need to identify them. There's also a unlimited travel authorization for the board, and you can't tell that, and the staff. And you can't tell that from this budget. And that probably matters for us because if we're doing activities and events and outreach and other things, we'd like, and most of that budget, I'm told privately, is in the category that used to be called constituency support, and it's actually contracted party support.
That's a big surprise.
You're always shocked.
Yes, that's right, Marilyn. I remember 2 years ago trying to unravel that constituency support. And yes, I mean, it's a good question to put on the travel, both well for the CEO and also for the board, because my recollection is the board travel is missing from the travel the other documents that, you know, the travel policy, that's missing. Outreach, you mentioned there, is one of the projects this time with a 45,000 budget on that. So
45,000?
Yes, it's not a huge amount. It's quite a relatively small amount.
The smallest new project.
Yeah, there's a couple more on the other page. Oh, yes, the smallest identifies a couple of TBDs on the other page, but on the bottom of page 13 there.
Yeah, but guys, we just participated in a phone call with Kurt Pritz describing a framework for including the creation of an academy to train X number of leaders selected by ICAM. Where's that budget?
Yeah, then it's they're going to do it on the cheap, I think, and they'll get it all done for 45,000.
I don't think so. I really think the lack of detailed information. Well, I don't want to. I'm just giving this as an example.
Yeah, you're not asking for an answer, are you?
Yeah.
Because we can't answer that. Yes. Back to the core operations. Chris speaking again. I've just noticed there were 13 last year. There's 14 this year, and international relations has been added.
Well, it sounds as though Marilyn wants to volunteer for that one, because that's where you would, I assume that's where this additional contribution to the IGF would come in, or maybe not. I don't know. But
well, that's, yeah. Chris, before you joined us, I'm personally having nothing to do with any of you boys, proposing an additional increase to the budget of $150,000. I don't know where it would come in, but I will volunteer to do some work whenever we allocate work. Just figure out where I can do the most useful work, and I'll volunteer to do that.
Okay, and thank you, Mary.
I'll volunteer under core operations to do two things. One is to draft this overall concern that we don't have any detail here. I mean, I'm not talking about anything extensive, just a paragraph. And then I would volunteer to do something on contractual compliance.
Thank you, Steve. Yes.
And I say I mean the IPC.
You mean the IPC, yes. Okay.
Well, should we just go through the list of categories and prioritize them and then say, do we have a volunteer? Would that work?
Well, if there's anybody, I mean, we've got two of the core operations areas spoken for now, maybe, but.
Well, I'm a contributor to core, but I think I'm going to need help. By the way, just before we go back to this prioritization, I have a call with Ken Stubbs and then a call with Xavier, and I just need to mention it to you guys. On the second framework call, there was some confusion about what Ken was proposing, you guys may remember that I had proposed that we create a budget advisory group, as we used to have, to ICAM, and meet on the Friday before or the Friday afternoon with some limited amount of ICAM funding, and Ken's on board for that. I think this divide-and-conquer stuff is not working. At least it's not working for us as the BC. So besides all this input, I am individually proposing, that ICAM hold a cross-SOAC discussion on the Friday afternoon before or the Friday afternoon of the board meeting with designated, appointed representatives from the various groups. Because right now, I'm getting a lot of divide-and-conquer stuff, and it's not on purpose. It's just sort of ignorance and innocence, I want to think. But I am going to promote that idea further, with each of the constituencies having 1 to 2 representatives. I'll send you the proposal, but you've already seen it. I've already sent it out. But I'm worried about this budget thing.
This is Steve. Can I comment on that? I think that's a great idea. I think the chance of any IPC participation either 2 days before the meeting or after the meeting is over is very slim. So I would have a scheduling concern. But
It's the same problem I've got as well, Steve. I think that put to the constituency, we're going to struggle to fill that.
Would it be the same if you had ICANN funding for those 2 days?
No, well, I don't think so, because people have made travel plans.
No, I don't. I'm not. I don't mean. Don't think about Costa Rica.
Right, you're talking about future meetings, then, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, for future meeting. Well, at least it's feasible. Although, again, I think the meetings are way too long as it is, and I would really encourage.
Then, Steve, what I would say that you and Tony should do against my proposal is make that point and say this needs to be integrated, because we used to do it in the ICANN meeting. I'm okay with doing it in the ICANN meeting and would prefer that. But the point, it's a different, you know, why don't we deal with improvements to my proposal?
Okay. No, I'm happy to, and I think we would support that idea.
Yeah, that's right. And if you give ICANN the choice of either funding it or integrating it, they'll probably look more favorably on integration.
So back to the, sorry, Chris. You're doing prioritization, and I'm eating in your ear. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, that could or could not be added as a comment on the at the end. So back to the core operations, which we said, you know, is about 80%. Which of the ones are the most important? Because I think there's two things, isn't it? Which are the ones the most important to us, and which are the ones by previous work or expertise think we can easily tackle?
Do we even know what some of these cover? I mean, IDN Fast Track. What is? I mean, I thought they said in the revenue side that they don't expect any CCTLDs to apply for IDN Fast Track.
No. IDN Fast Track is a CCTLD initiative. Right, and they did 11 or 13 as a pilot?
Yeah, and they say on page, on the revenue, one of the revenue pages, I think page 30 and 32, Fast Track revenue is budgeted at zero based on reduced applications received. So they don't expect to get any applications for the IDN Fast Track in the fiscal year. So why is that? What are they spending on? Just for the ones that are in the pipeline, or it's got to be a very relatively small amount, I would think.
I think we need to ask about that, because that was all country specific. Anything they're spending on, how much is the money?
Okay. Can I put you down for that, Steve? Because that's
sure.
Really just going to be a question, really.
Really, just a question, because I have no idea what they're talking about. I mean,
yeah.
I have an idea, but I don't understand.
I think from the BC, and we've done some work on security, stability, and resilience, Marilyn.
Yep.
I think that should be one.
Yep.
One for us.
And if Tony's interested, he could join us. But yes, we should do that.
Yeah, I'm happy to fill in on that. The other one that when we had some conversations around this that came up was the one that Steve mentioned, and I'm sort of reluctant to butt in on that, because I think the IPC have been even more concerned, and that's over compliance.
Well, we'll draft something, but everyone obviously will have a chance to react to it.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. And as we said before, we haven't gotten any numbers against these, or we could maybe cross-check back against this year in the actual budget. I haven't done so. See if it is categorised like that. But really, what we're either doing is, I think, asking questions here or underlining our constituencies' support that these certain areas are given the highest priority.
Well, if you're underlining support, there's clearly one that's going to stand out for us. And that's going to be the IPv6 stuff.
Yeah.
Where is that in here? Oh, that's under security, stability, and resiliency? Do we think?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not sure it is. It might need to be there, but I'm not sure it is. But wherever it is.
It's got to have carried on. I mean, it was in last year's, and I'm sure it's carried on because we're way, way away from being there on this one.
Right.
By the way, just an FYI, it would be really good if we could, the priority issue I can tell you about, Tony, from the BC is we're not willing to waive the requirement for IPP6 compliance for any new GTLD, although that's being advanced by Avery and others. We're not willing to waive that. And that means ICANN has to step up their involvement.
Yeah, quite right. And it underlines why they need a line item in here.
Yeah.
Okay. And we've always been for the policy development, support on the policy development and supporting the policy development staff.
Before you go to that, I just need to mention something to Tony. Tony, we need to focus on AS numbers, too.
Sorry, we need to focus on?
We need to make sure that we're saying IPv6 and the allocation of AS numbers.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So
I took that for granted.
Yeah, we could just expand that. I think it's really critical, given what's going on with the attacks on ICANN, that the management of an allocation of AS numbers needs the same kind of informational attention.
Yeah, and if you're going down that path, the other one that clearly comes out, and maybe it's something we could put a few words on, is the root zone scaling.
Yes. And if you would just, Tony, if we could just join you and work on that, I'll get you a couple of people to contribute.
Okay, that's fine.
Sorry, Chris.
Okay, I was just wondering about the policy development and support on resources for the policy development and the staff and the functions there, which is something we've commented on before.
I'm so sorry we're being recorded, so I can't be totally indiscreet. So I'll be discreet. So the previous regime in policy development was, I think, much more effective than the present VP. But we're talking about process here. I'm really worried about, I think in this case, all we're talking about is financial support, right?
Yes, I remember the background last time was that initiative was suggested at council, and one of the members of staff said, listen, there's no way we can do this. And we were all both disappointed and a bit shocked. And that meant last year that we did underline that the adequate resources be found for the development that was wanted.
So let me give you an example of a concern that the BC has, which is different. In our view, the working groups are not working, and they're filled with noise and not full participation. And so, I think we'd like to support funding for the policy development role of the council. But separately, and we won't want to go into this, separately we need to figure out a better strategy for task forces, which is how the council used to work, and Tony will remember this, with appointed representatives from each of the constituencies, so we didn't get outbalanced by participation. In the long run, we've got to improve the policy development process. In the short run, all this is calling for is us to make sure that there are adequate staff resources and other resources like the website, administrative assistance, conference calls, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Happy with that, but also I think it needs some more control over it as well, the working groups.
But more control to me, Tony, doesn't mean more control from the council.
Oh, absolutely not, no. No, but there has been an issue over priority of this stuff.
Yeah.
Some of that comes back.
And so maybe if we agree the CSG leadership could provide a comment that says there needs to be improved interaction at the governance level. We have to figure out what the language is, Steve. It needs to be improved interaction, and I'm not saying your counselors will agree with this. I'm just saying this is the BC position. There needs to be improved interaction at the constituency / SG level regarding priorities overall for the GNSO activities, policy, and other. And
we would certainly sign up to that.
Well, this is Steve. Let me just add another dimension on this, and I don't know which way it cuts. You know, in the preliminary issues report on RAA amendments that was recently put forward, there was this suggestion that there might need to be 4 policy development processes on various aspects of that. And I don't know whether that will come about, but obviously the RAA amendments are on a very fast track. We'll be seeing them within 2 weeks, and we'll know what, if anything, the council needs to do, perhaps, on things that weren't addressed in those amendments. But is there even any mechanism for the council to kind of change course and say, okay, we have various things in the pipeline, but here we have 4 areas that need to be addressed relatively quickly, and we want to move them ahead in the queue? I mean, is that the question you're talking about in terms of prioritization? Is that?
No, but I'm going to respond to that with a similar example and then come back to a different work item for the CSG. So Chris, help me with this. ITRP? What are the letters? The ITRP, ITB, whatever.
Yeah.
That initiative.
IRTP.
IRTP thing. That initiative has 9, 6, 12, or 14 stepchildren activities.
Right.
And certain people want to divide everything up into, you know, unique, and then they're, and I would just say my forecast is we could be working on IRTP or whatever it is for 5 years. That's similar to the example you just gave. Under a different chair named Bruce Tonkin, when I acted as the shadow chair and Tony was the, meaning I just did whatever Bruce told me to do, organizing things, and Tony was on the council, we took a very different approach to this. And we devised fast-track initiatives, priority initiatives. The council is so broken, in my view, that they cannot, and leadership is part of the problem, but it goes beyond that. I think this is a different CSG leadership discussion about how to fix the council and its processes. For the purposes of this budget, I think we need to say funding needs to be prioritized for any additional resources or research or informational materials that support policy development. Because, you know, I'm just going to use consumer choice and confidence as an example. That working group has decided that it's going to be too complicated to get consensus on what the questions are to do the research. That can't happen. We have to get to informed policymaking. If the council's not going to get us there, that's not today's topic, but it's another topic.
Agree with that.
Okay.
Bearing in mind, Chris, if you'll forgive me for a moment, as I've only got a few minutes and I'm going to have to leave. There's one item on here which we had some discussion on. We're still a little bit confused as to how it fits with the big picture, and that's the IANA stuff that's down. I don't know whether you can throw any light on that in terms of what is actually being proposed here and how it fits with the future, Marilyn.
Well, that you know, ICANN is assuming that they are going to win the contract, and I think the odds are high, but they're going to have different, they're going to have a different relationship and a different kind of accountability. Right now, the I don't know if you've looked at the NOI and the what will be the RFP, but it's going to require ICANN to be a lot more transparent in what it's doing. And so there will be some additional, there'll be some additional cost. I wouldn't have thought a lot, but some additional cost.
Well, you've answered my question, I think, because the big issue for us was whether we were talking about additional things that would need to be done with the renewal or things that were basically on
renewal
a wish list.
Over,
and I think you're saying it's that would have to be done.
No, the renewal's over. It happens, and they get it or they don't. In the next 34 days or something.
And then if they get the renewal, let's assume they get the renewal, these are elements on there which basically need to be done as part of that. It's part of the deal.
Yes, they were included in the bid.
Okay, that answers that.
So, Tony, are you going to provide some language on that topic?
I don't want to focus on that too much because it presupposes, of course, that they do get the renewal. But, I can provide something on that.
And is Marilyn going to provide something on policy development?
I will, but real quick, Tony, before you go. Tony, if they don't get the bid...
If they don't get the bid, they shouldn't get the funding for this.
Well,
exactly.
Not just that. If they don't get the bid, they won't get the funding, but they won't exist if they don't get the bid. Because
different topic.
Be in disarray figuring out who got the bid.
Different topic.
Yeah, let's not go there. Chris, I'm going to disappear off, and I apologize again for that. But what I've got down is I'll put a few words together covering IPv6, the root zone scaling stuff, and IANA. And
okay.
If there's anything else comes up, then I'll look out for the notes of this session.
And,
yes,
and Tony, we'll send you this, but we'll need your input on all the SSR comments.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes, and scan down the list of the strategic projects, which we're going to move on to now. And if there's anything that you want to have a go at, then chip in.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, I'm going to leave now, but thanks. It's certainly got things underway, so thanks again, Chris, and everyone.
Okay, welcome.
And speak with you later in the week. Okay, thanks. Goodbye.
So, Chris,
here we
are. Daniel, is Benny still on the call?
Benny, are you?
Yes, I am.
Probably, yes.
So, is Benny going to, we'll have a transcript, but is Benny going to maybe... Benny, could you kind of help Chris just do our who said what they would do when thing?
I've noted against the core operations names against those.
Are there any other core operations topics that we want to take on? Again, without any detail, it's kind of difficult. But
I don't know. Do you want to take up how much we pay the CEO, Steve?
What does that come under?
Moving on.
Well, if not, should we turn to the projects? Because there are several there that I think we would
prepare
something on.
Okay, so turning to the projects on page 13.
Yeah, or 12, I guess, and 13.
Yes. Fire away if you want to, Steve.
I think that there's a general point here that, you know, there are a lot of things here. When you look at the list of FY12 projects, there's a lot of things that, I've been pretty involved with the Who Is issue, and I didn't know that we had a project on RESTful Who Is. ICANN staff were being paid to do this. I've since learned that. But I think we should be saying that if there's a project, there should be some more transparency about what the project's goals are and what its milestones are, and there should be a report every year on what it's done. So we would like to see reports on all of these things.
So Steve, can I just stop you and ask you a question? Because like you, I had to go ask what RESTful Who Is was, and it took them a bit of time to explain it to me, and I kind of think I know a lot of stuff, but I didn't know that. So it's an acronym, right? So I think a good recommendation would be there needs to be an addendum that has at least a full paragraph on projects so that the community can easily update their understanding, blada blada. I was very offended about that restful whoist thing myself.
Well, what piqued my interest was the statements of the CEO about what ICANN was doing with regard to a new whoist protocol, most of which turned out not to be true.
Right.
The statements that he made to the Department of Commerce. So this kind of got me started on it. But I agree with you, and I'll be glad to draft a paragraph or two that says we need more transparency on these projects and
detail, because transparency, they don't understand what you mean.
Okay, I'll say detail.
And then it's not the only one, right? We want it
not
these?
The only one. I think on all of them.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I see this P1218 OEI ELAD Levinson, which becomes in fiscal 13.
I'm sorry, where is that? I haven't found that.
It's on page 12 in the left-hand box. If you look at the carryover projects, this was a project this year called OEI ELAD Levinson.
Oh, my
and
God.
Next year it's just called OEI because it's a carryover project.
You know what that is.
Well, I know who ELAD Levinson is.
Well, and you know that ELAD Levinson just held a day-long capacity building. No, that's the wrong word. Oh, my God. I need the word for it. I got to come up with it. He held a two half-day sessions with the staff, mandatory, helping them understand how to deal with difficult community members.
Mm. Well, no wonder my ears were burning. And I see there's a few bullet points about it on page 17, but that's a good example where those bullet points don't really tell us what is being done and what their goals are and how they're, you know, where they stand with in relation to those goals. So there are several of these carryover projects that I would like to at least draft a few, we would take a few words on anyway.
I think we really do need to, on 17, staff development, culture, morale, and leadership. That's the thing you're focused on.
Yeah.
I would just say that the feedback I have from the staff who participate in this, the old timers think this is offensive, and the new guys who know nothing about ICANN and can't even answer the question of what is ICANN responsible for are being briefed by Eli and others that the community is very difficult, it's very diverse, it's very diffused, it's very conflicted, it's conflictual, it's it's organizationally conflictual, hostile to leadership, and that is unfortunately some of the, you know, at the same time he's doing team building with them of how they need to not live in silos, talk to each other, and know more about what each other are doing. But the fact that staff development is being developed without an understanding from the community, I think, is a bit of a problem. So I share your concerns about it. The impact of globalization on ICANN, I'd like to contribute to.
Which number is that?
That's the bullet underneath staff development, culture, morale, and leadership. And I think I agree with Steve. So where's the written description? We need a one-page description on each of these. What are they? Where's the one page? How can we say yes, we support this, or no, we don't, if we don't have a one-page description? Steve, is that right?
Yes, I agree with that. I think there are some things we can say about some of them, but for example, what you just said about OEI, and I would volunteer to at least put something together on some of these. P1204, Benny, if you can get this down. P1204 for advance the WHOIS program, P1218 for ELAD Levinson, P1219 for ATRT recommendations, P1222 for compliance improvements, and P1231 for restful who is. We'll have a few sentences at least on each of those. But I think the general point is we need more detail on all of these.
And I'd like to add P1220 on AOC reviews.
So you're taking
I'll do 25, document management, because that, well, it didn't come out of the CCT work team.
But, you know, I think if we put together a series of, for example, so Steve, Chris, would this work? For example, FY12 projects. And by the way, FY12 projects that don't have written descriptions, how do we take them into FY13? Because if we don't have written descriptions and...
They don't have budget numbers either. I mean, for FY12.
We need budget numbers for FY12 and the written description of what they were, and then we need the written description of what they look like in FY13.
Right.
Yes. Because they must be there. I mean, the P number hasn't just been made up just now, has it? It's there. It's in the system somewhere with...
No. I wouldn't assume that. The look over at FY13 on page 12 on outreach, that's the Kurt Pritz new project, which is bizarrely mostly, oh, my God, lots of people want us to do registry and registrar outreach in developing countries, and we should be recruiting the new leaders of ICANN, and we have a boot camp for them. I don't think we signed on any of that. And without the detail, so you've got a project in FY13. Where's the detail? I can't find it.
Yes.
Right.
You know, I think actually one of the things we have to say is... we have to say ICANN board cannot keep approving. ICANN's board cannot keep approving projects that don't have sufficient detail, and therefore lack endorsement from the community.
Mm-hmm.
So without detail, there has to be some kind of, you know, we own a building in Palo Alto because the board didn't step up to enforcing a contract with the CEO.
Yes.
ICANN owns that building?
No, but it owns a lease that goes out for like 12 or 13 years.
Okay. Well, I totally agree with that, and I'm happy to draft this general statement about the projects, and or Marilyn, if you want to take the first whack at it, I'm happy for you.
No. If you want to do it, then I'll just focus in on, but let's do it as a, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way, just because we haven't said, we have a question about a particular, I think the ones we've identify a view, but how do we help them give us more information? Because saying you haven't given us information doesn't seem to help them much.
Well, it's very slow, isn't it? we're a step further forward, a little step forward, half a step forward this year than we were last.
Yeah.
And let's hope with what we're doing now, will encourage this information for the actual budget.
I think that's a good point, that we don't want to be too negative here because they have provided more information and they could take, if we are too negative, they could take the lesson from that. We'll just go back to being extremely, not having anything the way they had in some past years.
So
but I think we definitely need more detail.
And then proposing that we would be willing to find the time to work through things with a more of a cross-SO AC discussion as a pilot in Costa Rica during the meeting, followed by a more routinized approach. can we just go back to something else for a minute? Where do we stand with our financial request for funding and how we think that's going to be attended to? Because the only thing I saw in this amount of material that made an impact on me on that was at least it increased it from $500,000 to the number that we had before, Chris.
You're ahead of me, Marilyn. I haven't seen anything.
It's still at $500,000 on page 8.
It is still $500,000 on page 8? I was told they were going to increase it. Okay.
I think it's a good point to say they should increase it because, I mean, this is a very deceptive graphic here. If everything was to scale, the community additional request would be a pinpoint. It's, you know, less than 1% of the budget. So the idea that they should only be devoting, you know, 0.75 cents on each dollar to projects that come from the bottom up is kind of...
And that they spent more than that. Chris, if you could do this, they spent more than that in the last budget. And all of the money they spent in the last budget was only AC money, no SO money. The money they spent in the last budget was the ESSAC, the...
this is separate from, I think, Marilyn, this may be under core operations where it says AC, SO, and SG support.
Well, I was just about to say the opposite, Steve. It isn't. That's something different, although there's a comment coming out now as we're talking, because on the page 8 you've got strategic projects, core operations, and community additional requests now.
Right. That's right.
You can read it either way, can't you?
Yeah.
Well, the community additional request, all the money they spent, the five blah, 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 no money went to the constituencies or the SGs. All the money went to the ALAC and the GAC and the ESSAC. So with the community additional request, you could say the community additional request could be said to include JAS, which we would not say. But I just think there's a vulnerability there, and I can't figure out where we protect our request. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Page 9, it's got 597 in FY12 and 500 in FY13. But it's moved things into strategic project. So, goodness me, I barely think I understand this anymore. And I have to go now because I'm depressed.
Right. I'm going to move.
I wanted to raise a couple of points about some of these carryover projects.
Yep.
One is that the GTLD applicant support, they plan to spend 40 cents for every dollar that's actually disbursed. There's a $2 million program, right? And then there's $800,000 of overhead, basically, communication and operation of the program.
Wow.
That's a pretty gold-plated system. I mean, you know, if you think about this in the way a nonprofit would, that's a...
Well, not only that, but if the idea is $2 million for the disenfranchised participants as GTLDs...
Yeah.
...and spending $800,000 for overhead...
That doesn't come out of the $2 million. It's that you're spending $800,000 in order to...
And on top of the $2
million? Yes, on top of the $2 million. So it just seems kind of inefficient. And the other point that really struck me here, actually it's under new projects, if you look at the two IDN variant management blocks, again, I'm looking on page 18.
Right.
First, I'm a little unsure about what, you know, are we actually rolling out new GTLDs and IDNs without having completed these studies? Because they seem to be spending $1 million on studies starting July 1st, 2013. So how does that fit into the new GTLDs? But second is just that if you look at this, this is eating up more of the budget than the entire new GTLD program. new GTLD operations anyway. New GTLD operations is only 2.6 million, and these two together are 2.8 million. So is that right? That the main thing we're that IDNs are taking up most of the budget, and if so, you know, that means I mean it's very important to get the IDNs right, and maybe that should be the focus here.
So that's an important question. Under widen international engagement on page 18,
mm-hmm.
we are increasing the cost of the meeting cost by over $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a given that we have 1,500 to 2,000 attendees per meeting today. In a year, we're going to increase the meeting cost by that amount. That's a really huge. That's a huge percentage of increase.
Mm-hmm. But we don't know what the base is, do we? How much are they spending on meetings now? Do we know?
Well, but it's this is all additive.
Yes, I understand, but it's added to what? I mean, does that mean they're increasing the cost, what they're spending on meetings by 10% or by 50%? I mean,
okay, good question. Yeah. What is percent?
Because, again, they don't give, although ICANN meetings is a core operation, they don't give us any number there.
Well, the meetings are individually approved with a budget by the board.
Yeah, I understand. It could be reconstructed. You could figure out what the budget is.
Yes.
So
looking on page 19, we also don't know this 275,000K to nominating committee, fellowship, community wiki. I guess our point is, where's the detail? We know what you're going to do, but what did you spend? So this we need to have on a single page. Because we don't have this amount. When we look back, we can't say, we didn't have this level of detail, right? So we can't say, I'm just looking at system enhancements, page 19.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry, Chris, I just can't do this budget. This says 2012, it should say you spent 200K. System enhancements for 2013 are 275. And then you have several sentences which say on each of these things what you're going to do that's different. That's what we're looking for, right?
Yes.
I think we need to give them an example. By the way, on page 20, non-contract community intercessional meetings, 130K. Are you aware that does not include your request for intersessional meetings?
I assume it doesn't because this is a project and that is a, you know, in that other little category.
Correct.
So
what are they planning?
So we don't know what these are.
Yeah, we don't know what these are.
And I'll write something about that, but I got to say, ICANN staff is enamored of having intersessional meetings that only they are at. I know they are because I keep hearing from Jamie's team, we need to have a meeting here, we can have a meeting there. But I don't get it because if there's no community constituency involvement there, then what the fuck are those people doing when they come to an ICANN meeting? Additional rights protection mechanisms?
Yes, we would like to know what is planned in that area. I think we should say it's positive that they recognize that what's in the guidebook is not sufficient and that they're planning to enhance it.
Please count on you and me to help.
Right.
Good. Okay. There's just two other areas I just want, if I can just mention. One would be the income side, and the other sort of headline really, the other would be the thoughts on contingency and investment, revenue side, yeah, and then contingency and investment. Is that something that we're interested in or qualified to talk about? Question.
Well, the contingency, the business constituency probably drove the constituency a few years ago. We jumped up and down in a corner going, you need a reserve fund. In the event the bottom falls out of everything they're planning, they need to be able to continue operations. So that needs to continue. On the investment side, I don't know that we're qualified to comment on that. Why do they have an investment fund? They're a not-for-profit.
Well, they've got to sensibly invest the money, haven't they? It's not got to be all in...
Well, not-for-profits normally don't make investments.
Well, they have to park their money somewhere. If they, you know, it could be even just a cash flow issue.
As long as that's... Remember, they lost a lot of money a few years ago. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I
remember
do.
George Kirkhope's did a good... went into that, didn't he? But if my memory serves me, last year it was the other way around. And I think when we looked at that, when I quickly looked at that report by the auditors, it brought that on. But equally, you know, perhaps this isn't an area that we should focus too much on.
So let me talk about an area I would like to focus on. This is what led to, I have to have a call with Xavier because of it. I said that I wanted an explanation of what ICANN was doing to ensure they weren't putting their not-for-profit status at risk. Generating funds from auctions are not, normally, in the normal day-to-day operation of ICANN, they are a cost recovery. They don't create huge profits. They're not out, they're serving the community. All of a sudden now they are devising a mechanism where they are going to generate a profit-making activity via auctions and other activities. All the rest of what they do, they can operate in a cost recovery plus mode and protect their not-for-profit status, but this auction stuff can put their not-for-profit status at risk. And I would like us to say something about ICANN needs to, because they have this idea they're going to create some kind of a foundation, create all sorts of funds, fund all sorts of good stuff. I wrote a proposal about a foundation for them once before on the single letters, so I did a lot of research on that. But I'm worried about how they understand what they're going to do with any. The reality is they may generate so many GTLDs that fall over that they need a much larger reserve fund. But they could also generate auction dollars that then go into contest. Hypothetically, they auction the name of a company that has a brand. The brand company sues them. They're creating a lot of risk. And I don't see the detail here that shows me that they're dealing with contingency and continuity planning in those kind of risk environments. And I also don't support auctions, but there you go.
Okay.
But there's nothing in here, Steve, that tells me how they're going to deal with putting their not-for-profit status at risk.
Yeah, I don't see anything either.
Yeah.
But I would await your results of your conversation with Xavier. Can I ask, in terms of next steps here, this week is extremely busy for me, and I'm probably not going to be able to, although I'm going to try to get some other people on my IPC team started on this, I don't think I can commit to having anything until next Monday to circulate to...
Monday is the 12th?
The 13th.
We won't be able to do anything before then either. What's the deadline, Chris? It's the 23rd?
That's cutting it close, but I think if we can get stuff early next week.
Yeah.
Yes. I think Monday is, the only realistic deadline, isn't it, to get the first draft. pushed, put together, and back out to everybody.
And
well, that's different. I'm not even going to get you anything until Monday. So if you're going to be in charge of putting it together in a draft, you need to factor that into.
Well, Steve, can I ask a question? Can we, maybe we could come up with a format which says that we take the categories and we treat it as a sort of a thank you for these comments. We have a number of questions. We have a question section. We have a additional, you know, so we come up with something so when we write our comments, it minimizes the pasting and editing that Chris would have to do, so we could all write in sort of a template approach. And so our approaches could say, addressing page 5, addressing topic blah, blah.
That's fine. I volunteered to write a general paragraph or two.
Okay.
On core projects and on, you know, core operations, we need, i.e., we need more information, and on projects, i.e., we need more information.
Then you're going to say,
and then here
right?
are some examples.
Good, okay.
And it'll be non-exhaustive.
Yeah, and then, Chris, if we could just write it, if you feel comfortable that we write it, saying, for example, you know, we're making progress, but we additional information is needed. And without prejudice, I think we have to say we may find it necessary to raise additional issues during the reply due to the lack of information, due to the lack of detail. We may find it necessary to raise more issues during reply, because ICANN's wrong about reply. Reply should allow people to raise additional issues that are directly relevant.
Yeah, that's not what ICANN wants to do. ICANN just simply wants to reduce the public comment periods as a step toward accountability and transparency.
Do I look like I'm impressed?
We should suggest that initiative be called Staff Autonomy and Opacity.
I like it.
All right, we'll put that in the comments here. Chris, thank you very much.
Right.
I will endeavor to get you as much of this as possible by a week from today.
We'll just add in that comment. I'll just talk to Chris about that in a minute, Steve, further. We'll put in that comment that, you know, we will reserve the right to provide additional comments during the reply round.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you.
Bye. Great, thank you, Steve. Bye. Thanks, bye-bye.
So, Chris, we've got a lot of stuff. I you know, it's really, my goodness, it's quite impressive.
Yes. I mean, a lot of this can come. I've got some notes which I can try to start us off with. I've made notes of where people have volunteered for sections.
I'm going to propose you do one other thing. I think you should email your buddies from CCNSO. The two you met with, Roland and Benny, can you stop the recording?
Sure.